And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Globalization, it's everywhere. Today, we take three looks at globalization as we bring you news of an amazing new internet tool that will fly you to literally anywhere on Earth in seconds and let you explore in ways that are astonishing. Then, it's a look at the world from a real globalist perspective, a man whose job it is to make plans for the realities of global warming. And then, we bring you an exclusive story from a Wildside News listener about his discovery of a most amazing example of tool using in animals. It's all coming up when your Voice of the Earth returns here on the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News, and now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Globalization is sweeping around the world. Okay, it's a bad joke, but we need to remember that it wasn't all that long ago that it took days for news to reach us. Now, we hear about events from around the world in minutes. Before CNN and the global satellite communication systems, reporters and cameramen would have to literally shoot film, put it in a can, drive it to the airport, and fly it to news centers in New York. Now, it's live from almost everywhere. We are truly living in the age of globalization. There are many extraordinary opportunities that come with globalization and many uncertainties. One thing we know for sure, globalization in some form is sweeping around the world. So today, we explore three perspectives on globalization. Following today's news and commentary, you are going to be introduced to a literal manifestation of globalization that will give you the opportunity to travel quickly to literally anywhere on Earth and take a close-up look at what is there. From cities, to your neighborhood, to prairies, parks, islands, mountains, peaks, you can now go anywhere in the world in seconds. In our second segment, we talk to a real globalist whose job it is to take a close look at what the effects of globalization will have on the planet, because his bank, the World Bank, will be responsible for financing the future of the developing world, and he has a lot to say about how the World Bank is looking at global warming and climate change. You just may be surprised at what he has to say. Then in segment 3, from one of my listeners from Tel Aviv, thanks to the global internet, you get an exclusive breaking nature story about an extraordinary discovery of crows that figured out how to catch fish in a most ingenious way. It's all coming up as we span the globe to keep you up to the minute in the news we need to make informed decisions about the future of life on Earth. So first, the news. Despite an almost total news blackout on the story, last week's oil spill is proving to be the largest oil spill along Alaska's North Slope. The spill, estimated at 267,000 gallons, seeped into the snow-covered tundra. Crews are busy sucking up the mess with temperatures more than 70 degrees below zero, which offers a small blessing as the crude is now the consistency of honey. British Petroleum claims responsibility for the spill, which occurred from a 1/2-inch hole in the pipeline due to corrosion inside the 3-mile line that leads to the Trans-Alaska pipeline. The legendary Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia, renowned as one of the finest diving areas for the amazing coral life, is now estimated to be 98% devoid of life. The corals appear as an endless white and lifeless landscape. Scientists attribute this dramatic change to the record high temperatures in the waters that make up the reef, reaching 84 degrees Fahrenheit, which is the upper limit for coral. This follows on 2005, which saw a major bleaching of the corals of the Caribbean. With ocean temperatures on the rise, little change in this condition is seen in the near future. Corals are vital as spawning grounds for many species of fish and help prevent coastal erosion and serve as a strong economic engine from revenues from tourists. And badminton players around the world, particularly professional badminton players, are expected to have to pay higher prices for the shuttlecocks due to, of all things, a shortage of goose feathers in China as one of the effects of the bird flu. The price of professional goose feather shuttlecocks has risen 25% in the last year, and prices are expected to continue to rise. The retail price of a championship-grade feather shuttlecock is currently $1.75. This is yet another example of the price we must all pay for globalization. And that's the news. A few reminders. One of the big stories this week was the resignation of Interior Secretary Gail Norton. Without much fanfare and even less press scrutiny, Gail Norton announced her resignation last week and she'll be gone by the end of the month. At this time, no replacement has been named. Secretary Norton claims she is resigning for personal reasons. However, some have speculated that she resigned because of some possible association with the Abramoff scandal. And that's about as far as it will likely go. But I want to remind my listeners that way back in January, I went out on a limb to suggest that there was a potentially questionable, politically incestuous faction within the Department of Interior that had direct connections with Abramoff and included Gail Norton directly. And I encourage any reporters out there who want a real story to just do a little research on the following players. First, Chad Calvert, Undersecretary of the Interior, appointed by Gail Norton, who arbitrarily lifted the protections for Tetchupuk Lake in Alaska with a stroke of his pen. He was one of the first Bush appointees and worked with the Bush-Cheney transition team and focused on the interior. His wife Jennifer, currently working for Washington Strategies, a D.C. lobbying firm that has amongst its reputed political successes planting the story about a secret affair between John Kerry and a reporter, but more directly, Jennifer Calvert worked directly with the Abramoff lobbying firm for years. Also, in Washington Strategies is Bill Jarrell, who worked as well for Abramoff and prior to that served under George Bush Sr. with the Interior Department. It's an amazing story, one which I hope we will be able to cover in depth in the months ahead, because as yet, it has gone unreported, except for a few hard-to-find places, but more specifically, here on the Wild Side News. So if this interests you, let me know what you find out. We'll report it on your Voice of the Earth here on the Wild Side News. Well, now let's turn our attention to something truly at the other extreme. Please get a piece of paper and take some notes or revisit today's webpage later on for the links. But here is one of the most sensational benefits of globalization I've found in a very long time. Anyone listening to this show has heard of Google. Google, which recently went public and then proceeded to take an astronomical jump in value, is an amazing bunch of folks. They are on a stated mission to make all information available online. I use Google about 50 times a day to find out information on just about everything or anything at all that I find interesting. Recently, somehow, I stumbled onto a new Google feature called Google Earth. I have a link to the site on today's show page. And if you can find it easily by going to www.earth.google.com. Google Earth makes it possible to choose any place on Earth by putting in a search string and then watching as a real image of our Earth begins to whirl about and then begins to bring you closer and closer to that precise spot using extremely high-definition satellite images of the entire Earth. In order to use this feature from your computer, you do need to download a free Google Earth program that supports your Quest. Coming from Google, you have little to fear in terms of viruses. I have links to the download site on today's show page, and it works with computers running Windows 2000 or XP, and there is a Mac version as well. Once you've done that and loaded the program onto your computer, then it's a matter of typing in some place you want to visit, hitting the search icon, and then the magic journey begins. In the upper right sector of the Google Earth page is a picture of the Earth. Once you initiate the search, the Earth starts to spin, and in a few short seconds brings you to that place with actual images of that spot. You can then zoom in for greater detail or zoom out for a wider perspective. To zoom in, you simply left double-click and it begins to move in closer. To stop, you left-click again. You can continue doing this and get closer and closer and closer with actual images. I've spent hours getting to know my Earth, my neighborhood, cities from around the world, places I have been, places I want to go. So first, I encourage each of you to go on board with Google Earth by downloading the program. Then you will be able to literally go anywhere your heart or mind desires. And it's all so very personal. For me, I'm fascinated by the patterns of the Earth, and they are truly sensational from this perspective using the Google Earth search system. And what's also amazing about Google Earth is that by cleverly using your mouse, you can initiate the effect of flying over the landscape to survey everything from a flight from Arizona to Montreal, from any altitude you wish, to flying just over the tops of the twisted dry canyon walls of Canyonlands National Park. What makes Google Earth truly spectacular is the detail that is available to you. I decided to check where a friend of mine lives in New York. I typed in his address and then launched, and watched as I flew directly over his neighborhood. And then I left-clicked repeatedly until I was literally looking down to the street right in front of his apartment in New York City. I continued to left-click until I finally reached a point where I could make out individual cars and people on the street at the moment that particular photo was taken. And it's all in wonderful color. Then by double right-clicking, I could zoom back out and away. And then, if I want to, I can fly off to explore the city or the countryside or across the ocean to England or Beijing or Thailand. They also have special features of special interest to many. While I was exploring the landscapes of China, for example, I noted the Forbidden City in Beijing, highlighted with an imaginary tag. The Forbidden City. Of course I had to go there. I was able to explore the Forbidden City from the perspective of looking at the entire moat-protected space with its corner towers for protection. Then I zoomed in until I could make out the palace, the main square, with individual people walking about. It's also possible to do visual surveys of areas we read about, areas like Anwar or Teshikpuk Lake. It's significant to be able to literally see the thousands of interconnecting lakes and understand why drilling could be so dangerous there. I did a story a few weeks back on the natural gas fields of New Mexico around Aztec that Tweety Blanchett talked about recently. So, using Google Earth, I flew over to Aztec and was stunned to see the reality. Like the white strands of a spider web, I could literally see the endless matrix of pipelines connecting the little white dots of gas wells that spread throughout whole sections of the region. It told the story more effectively than anything I'd read about or heard. Then I wondered if I could use this for really practical things, like heading off into the boundary waters of northern Minnesota with its thousands of interconnecting lakes. Sure enough, there it was, every single lake and island. I thought what a benefit it would be if I could actually print those out before an adventure, and that is precisely what you can do by clicking on File, then Save Image. Now, you can adjust the image to enhance the three-dimensional effects of your wanderings by going to Tools and then clicking on Options. if you set your elevation exaggeration, which is one of the choices, to 3, get set for a stunning deepening of the landscape in which steep-walled canyons create dizzying drops. The wonder of this planet has never been more accessible. I've put links on today's show, and I've posted a couple of examples of images that I've taken from Google Earth. This is, to my thinking, one of the most powerful nature tools ever developed, and opens up a desire for exploration and a resource for learning, and perhaps most importantly, at least for me, is a fully accessible, totally free means to get a real sense of what globalization means in its most fundamental sense of the word. Am I impressed? Yes. And I want to commend the people at Google for making Google Earth a reality, for making it so easy to use and download, and for making it available to everyone and anyone who wants to use it, absolutely free. Go to www.earth.google.com. Globalization from 3 perspectives. In a moment, we travel to Washington, D.C., and talk with a real live globalist when your Voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News.